Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Good evening, White Sox fans. It is Wednesday, June 18th. My name is Danny Miller. The gentleman joining me once again this evening is my esteemed partner, Mr. Jacob Thome. And this is the latest edition of Future Sox Hot Takes and Heaters. How you doing tonight, Jacob?
It was going well until I got on here. I am quickly falling apart, but that's all right. I was messing with my camera setup, then noticed that none of my lights were on and it was kind of dark in here. So then I always go turn those on, ran into my table, my like little movable desk that makes this whole thing go around, bump my water. So now there's water all necked over to my setup. But listen, we're here. We're having a good time. We're not watching White Sox baseball because Mother Nature has not been fun to both of us today. You a little more than me, but glad to be here.
And there was a short, very brief period where lights were flickering on and off in my homestead here this afternoon. I swear there were times I thought bombs were going off with some of these thunderstorms, man. I still think something exploded around here, man. There was one that just this afternoon came. There was no crackle. There was no like anything whatsoever. It was just a boom and an echo. And I was like, wow, did something just blow up or was that lightning? I really couldn't tell. But the way it echoed, I was like, that had to be lightning because it just echoed for like, I feel like it was like a good 20 seconds. So anywho, man, like you said, we are here. We are both currently with power and live. So yeah. Let's get into some White Sox topics. We have a few things on the docket this evening, but, you know, the most outstanding White Sox news of the last week since we were last on is the Andrew Vaughn and Aaron Civale trade. So, you know, I think, well, let's just dive right into that because I'm sure that's what the peoples, the fans, the folks, the White Sox truists and everyone in between are ready to talk about. So I want to get your thoughts on this, and I have some thoughts of my own, but I'm going to kick it over to you. And let's talk a little bit about this trade.
Yeah, I mean, getting a living, breathing human being back for Andrew Vaughn is quite impressive. And, you know, you get a guy in Aaron Civale who you kind of needed at this point because you were running this weird four-man rotation. Obviously, with Cannon's injury, it kind of forced gets his hand. And it wasn't – obviously, they went out and they got Adrian Houser just a couple of weeks ago to kind of fill up that fifth rotation spot, and then Cannon goes down, so now you're shorting man again. And so you bring in Aaron Civale, who's just kind of known as this back end inning hitter type of guy. He has an okay first appearance. The beginning of it wasn't pretty. Walked three guys there in that first inning, but you know, there's not a lot of wowza with Aaron Civale, but it was good for them to finally get rid of Andrew Vaughn and move on from the disappointment that was Andrew Vaughn. It's going to be a talked about thing for a while, obviously, with that draft. A lot of big names coming out of that draft. Unfortunately, the two biggest going directly in front of the Sox, including Bobby Witt Jr. and Adley Rutschman. But it's an unfortunate break for Andrew Vaughn, who hit a grand slam yesterday, but that's in AAA. It'll be interesting to see what the Brewers do. There was some interesting conversation. Obviously, they have Rhys Hoskins. They're kind of one of those teams in the middle of the pack in the NL Central right now. So it'll be interesting to see kind of what happens there if he gets any playing time. But Andrew Vaughn had nothing left to contribute with the White Sox. And so to get a guy that Chris Getz feels confident enough that you can flip again here in just a couple of weeks for another living human body, but actually someone young and something that you can move towards the future is something pretty impressive. So all in all, I think is a good trade. It's a much needed trade for now and potentially the future, depending on if he's dealt here shortly.
Yeah. You know, I think your sentiments are pretty much exactly what most of the fan base is feeling about this. You know, I saw some tweets and read some articles about, you know, how Andrew Vaughn's exit affected the White Sox fan base. And I mean, you know, Sox fans have been known to be a little bit rough on players, but whew, man, I mean, some of the stuff you read out there, like there was one by a very prominent White Sox Twitter. Let's just say a person, because I'm not going to mention any names, but it was something along the lines of, like, you know, was Andrew Vaughn an awesome draft pick? No. Did Andrew Vaughn ever live up to the potential of the hype? No. Did Andrew Vaughn ever develop any kind of real skills? No. Was he a defense? You know, it was just this whole list of, like, things, and it was like the way Sox fans say goodbye to, yeah, you know, a you know, an early first round draft pick. And you know, people were tough on him, and there's no reason to not be. The only thing that I can say that Andrew Vaughn maybe had go in his favor was that he could say that the White Sox never really gave him an opportunity to develop the way they handled his whole situation. You know, giving him basically next to no time in the minor league system, and then putting him on the taxi squad during the COVID season. And, you know, they talked him up and they hyped him up, but there were just reports, which was also part of this tweet, like, was Andrew Vaughn's work ethic something that, you know, Sox fans could say was a positive about him? And the answer again was no. And it's been pretty much leaked all over the place, more in recent months than any other time, that Andrew Vaughn would, like, show up just to swing the bat a couple of times during, you know, camp and whatnot, and then leave and go out and hit the golf course and do whatever he wanted. And, you know, there's a bit of a thought of, like, the first round prima donna kind of thing going on, especially for a guy who I don't understand. You know, you're already undersized and being picked apart by a lot of experts in baseball, and you were lucky enough to get picked extremely high in a draft, and you don't show any kind of commitment to the team that drafted you. It's just, it's an unfortunate situation, and one that he probably shouldn't have taken lightly, but he did. And to be able to get a body back, a serviceable body, was kind of lucky that Civale went to the Brewers and said, hey, I want out. I don't want to be a part of this anymore. You know, I'm better than this. And it makes you kind of wonder what kind of dysfunction is going on in that organization to want out of Milwaukee to come here, where things are, you know, historically bad the last couple of years. And yeah, there's some minor improvements, and there's, we've been talking about it a lot here, that there are reasons to feel like, you know, things are turning around in the organization as a whole, not just as the team. But, you know, the other part of that is I have to think that Civale probably sees an opportunity coming to the White Sox, knowing that all he has to do is be an average pitcher here in this organization, and the chances are that he will get flipped possibly to a contender, and be in a situation just in a, you know, a month after being traded or a month and a half after being traded in a situation where he's now looking at possibilities of being in the postseason and further developing his financial outlook for the rest of his career, being in the right place at the right time. So I don't really know exactly what was going on there, but, you know, obviously Milwaukee dumped some a little bit of their payroll by sending him here and taking on Andrew Vaughn. And maybe they see something in Andrew Vaughn that they feel like they can fix. Oh, looks like I lost Jacob. There you are. Playing with your stuff in the middle of this, in the middle of the stream.
There was an awful glare. I had to get rid of it. It was driving me insane. I still don't think I got rid of it. But
you
got
to stop playing with it while we're live, man. I'm going to have to call you. I'm going to have to, you know, reach out and call you something like a, I don't know, a specific player that was once in the White Sox organization who used to like playing with it in live places. So, anywho, Spinky.
I didn't think that's... If you had to like give me a bet sheet of like who was going to get mentioned on the podcast, why can't I think of his name?
Well, come on. Pull it out.
Plays for the Cubs.
Pun intended.
Don't say that. This is getting worse by the second here.
We got to have a little bit of fun with it. So,
of course. But I mean, like, bet sheet of who's going to get mentioned tonight. He would have not been very high.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
he is. We're
gonna... I'm gonna leave the name alone because he's been mentioned on this show before and he's taken a lot of heat for something that happened years ago. So we'll
just can't beat it.
See what you did there. See, look, I got a little something for you. I was playing with. Oh, here we go again. I was messing around with our. Messing around with our soundboard a little bit, so yeah. Anywho, you know, we're gonna keep it rolling here, but yeah, I mean, the thing about, by the way, Uncle Ted's in here. He says Vaughn is what, $5 million? Yeah, Vaughn was owed.
I believe Vaughn it was six mil, but it was 2 years where Savali is done after this year.
Yeah, Vaughn and Vaughn's owed about, or I'm sorry, Savali's owed in the neighborhood of $9 million. So there was almost a $3 million difference between the two of them. So yeah, there's a little bit of a dump off of salary for that. And honestly, Savali could be a very serviceable pitcher until he either gets traded, which I'm guessing is the direction the White Sox are probably going to want to go with him. And I'm pretty sure that's what Aaron Savali had in mind for, you know, in mind for whatever the future holds for the White Sox. But the main thing is, you know, they could possibly use him as an innings eater and then try to flip him in the offseason. I just don't see that happening. I think this is more of a move to, you know, bolster the farm system down the road here and keep that churn, the roster churn going for the White Sox. Hopefully in time we start to see a little bit more churn with the bullpen again, because, you know, it was during yesterday's broadcast, and I actually wanted to bring this up on this week's show, and they talked about it on yesterday's broadcast during the game, that the White Sox actually have more two runs or less games lost than any other team in baseball since like the beginning of May. So that all tells you year. What's it, yeah, maybe all year. Yeah,
the entire year. They're 4-19 in one run games. Continue. Sorry.
Yeah. And then there's a bunch of two run games in there, yeah, as well that they were in, and the bullpen has blown. So you know, all in all, it kind of looks like maybe if the White Sox were actually, you know, a little bit more on track. We've talked about how they're fun. They're more fun to watch than they have been a long time, and they're actually fun bad. This could be a team that in a year with the right couple of bullpen pieces could add another 12, 15 wins, maybe more to that win total. And now we're talking about a team that's looking like 500 without really messing around too much with the current roster. So, anywho, figured I would you know, just kind of inject a little bit of hope into what's been going on lately with the White Sox. So, pardon me. I'm fighting a little bit of a minor summer cold here. So if I get the hoarseness and the sniffles, just bear with me, folks. But, you know, as far as trades go, I give that one a B plus, maybe even an A, just because of the value from our side. You know what I mean? Yeah. What we gave away to get. And I'll really kind of grade that trade. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I'll grade this trade after even more closely after where we see Savali ends up and what the return on that trade is. Because, you know, it's all going to go kind of hand in hand. What did we get for Andrew Vaughn at the end of the day when Aaron Savali is traded away? So,
yeah, that was definitely the biggest trade of the week, right? Like, there's no other major trades that happened. You know, Andrew Vaughn, Aaron Savali, definitely the biggest trade of the week.
Yeah. Yeah, what's up, B Minor? He checks in. He's nothing new. As far as the bullpen is concerned, nothing new, you know, considering how many Kopech blew last year. And, yeah, now he's sitting down at the moment. So, you know, I don't know. That's maybe another trade that I wasn't exactly super fond of the return for, but – you know, when we go back and look at it now, looks like the Sox might have made some pretty good decisions on that one as well. But neither here nor there on that. So, again, that's all a matter of, I think, further down the road, we'll be able to grade those a little bit better as well.
Yeah, for 100%.
So, let's talk about some of the roster churn, as we were talking about, some things that have moved around. I know there's one guy in particular that you and I have talked about. And we'll get to him in a few minutes. But my boy, Lenin Sosa, back in the lineup yesterday, or at least back with the team. And then today, when the lineup cards came out before the game was, eventually canceled, nowhere to be found. What's up with that, man? You got any thoughts?
I mean, did you see the play at first? The issue that Lenin Sosa is going to have is the infield's already crowded. We have to play Vinny Capra. And so with him in that, you know, he has to be the starting shortstop because he started four of the last five games. Because of that, you know, it kind of forces guys to play new positions because, you know, we have to play Vinny Capra there. We have to get a guy like Lenin Sosa playing first or Miguel Vargas playing first because we can't just, be able to attach, can't lose the 310 or whatever OPS that Vinny Capra's bringing to the lineup. But no, I mean, they're going to have this issue a lot going forward of guys who play the middle infield that just, there's too many of them. Obviously, Colston's going to come up. Brooks Baldwin's been tearing it up. We'll get into him later. So there's guys who are going to come up and already join what is a crowded middle infield at this moment. Missed the opportunity to talk about Josh Rojas because of how bad Vinny Capra is. Anyway, there'll be times. But I think when you go forward, you're going to have this issue of playing guys at first base. And some guys look really good out of position, like Miguel Vargas, who is still top 10 in all of the MLB and outs above average at first, and he's played like 10 games or something. And then you have Lenin Sosa, who is not quite great at first base. Not a great defender anyways, but then you move him out of position and he's not great. I still think they need to figure out a way to get him into the lineup. Obviously, you know, it's going to become harder to do as the season goes forward and more guys get called up, but I don't know. I think he's a legitimately 20 home run guy if you play him every single day with what he brings. I think he can be an above average hitter. And you just don't find too many of those, especially at the second base position. So, it's nice to see him come back. I mean, he had a really good thing going before he got hurt. See if he can get back into it.
Yeah, I know I've been kind of, harping on Sosa being my guy for a long time just because, you know, I followed him since the day he's entered the system. My big thing with him right now, and it's not typically like him, excuse me, is, yeah, he's hitting about 275-ish, right? And his OPS, or I'm sorry, his on base is still under 300. And he's catching a lot of flack for that. He's not walking. He's not taking enough pitches. But here's the thing. It's not something that has been super typical of him throughout his career. His on-base percentage, although not awesome, has been better in the past. I believe it's probably something that, you know, he's just trying to stay with this lineup as long as he can. He's trying to put wood on the ball and keep the base paths moving. Sometimes taking a walk is the way to do that. But right now, I feel like he has proven that he could be an MLB everyday player at this point in his career. Whether it's with the White Sox or somebody else, it doesn't really matter. I think that even if he's a guy who's like your fourth or fifth infielder coming off the bench, somewhere he can stay with an MLB roster for a long time. I don't believe he's going to be one of these guys that's a White Sox and done type player, where he gets 2 years and then the White Sox find their future infield and put it all together here in the next couple of years and say goodbye to Lenin Sosa, and Lenin Sosa is off the face of the map as far as baseball is concerned. So I would like to see him walk a little bit more. I do believe that he has the power. Could you imagine a second baseman if he could clean up his defense? Could you imagine having a second baseman in Chicago that hits 15 to 20 home runs every year and bats, in the 270s? We haven't seen that in a long time. Tadahito Oguchi, I'm thinking. And Aguch wasn't some 20 home run hitter. Ray Durham had a little bit of pop here and there, but I would love to see a second baseman in a White Sox uniform that could do that kind of thing and keep the base pass moving and even show off a little bit of speed every now and again. So I don't know, but he's back, and I hope that the rest of this, I don't know if maybe he gets traded. I don't know, but I hope that his rest of his time with the Sox is one that continues to move forward. He has been one of their hottest hitters, but that's kind of a testament to how bad this team really has been offensively, right? When you're one of your best hitters is hitting 275 and only has a 290-something on base percentage. So, did you freeze up on me? Are you still here? Uh-oh. Did we lose Jacob again? You there?
Yeah. Sorry, my Wi-Fi was not great, so we switched to the hotspot where we should be good now. Sorry.
You are...
I'm falling apart today.
You're forcing me. You're forcing my hand. Going to have to go with a heater. Uh-oh.
Your last straw.
You're breaking up here, buddy. Is the Wi-Fi going in and out?
I'm popping in. It's... I don't know. Not really sure. We're not really hanging in there, but...
Man, do we need to like start taking up donations to get you boosted up?
I have good internet. I pay for fiber. I pay for the good internet. I'm telling you. Apparently not good.
Is your equipment? Like seriously?
I hope not. I'm working on a $1,000 Mac here. I mean,
do we need to start a GoFundMe for Jacob Thome?
Maybe I have like 40 tabs open on my Google Chrome. That's probably it. If I had to take a wild guess at something, that
seriously right now, bro. Yeah, trying to do a show here, man.
I was doing research.
Man, the chat's going nuts over here, bro. While you're breaking up. So yeah, Wolf Larson, thanks for checking in, buddy. Comments would we get a doubleheader tomorrow? And I'm all for it. I'll be watching as much baseball as I possibly can tomorrow, because I have an evening where I probably will have a cocktail or three tonight. So I'm gonna enjoy taking a day and chilling and watching some day baseball at home in the comforts of my own living room, 65-inch TV. Too much what? Listen, I'm not even gonna justify by putting that on the screen. Uncle Ted, we don't talk about the prawn around here. So, all right, I'm gonna go back just a little bit because
this is taking a turn.
Yeah, it really has. So, B minor throws it out there. I have this. I had to go back and highlight this because I saw it pop up in the chat right when you were starting to blink out on us there a little bit. But he says Sosa will have a Marcus Semien career once he gets traded. Wowzers. That's a heck of a prediction. And Marcus Semien, I mean, let's be honest. When he was with the White Sox, I don't know if I would say he was the same player. Marcus Semien's defense has been pretty solid most of his career. But the bat really, really took off once he left the White Sox organization. Guy's been pretty phenomenal since leaving. What do you think about that? You think Sosa has those kind of aspirations and capabilities?
I think he's got 20 home run power. I don't know if he's got 40 home run power. I mean, you understand it. Like, Marcus Semien was a top shortstop and is still a top-tier shortstop in the MLB here for 10 years. I don't think he's going to only – I don't think Lenin Sosa has that type of upside. I'm thinking more of like, all right, he's not – he's above replacement level. He's got a positive WAR. He's playing some decent ball. Also, to add to Semien, I mean, the defense of Semien is better than Lenin Sosa. I get the pop, but, I mean, I just – I don't think there's a way that he's putting up a 45 home run season. Lenin Sosa, that is.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I don't see it. I mean, Semien's career really did take off, but, you know, Sosa was probably more of a talked about prospect when he was coming up. But again, Sosa was in the system when he was like 16 or 17 years old, and people knew he was going to grow, and he had these bat-to-ball skills, and his defense was actually not bad back in the day. I wonder kind of where that's gone off the rails a little bit, but, you know, Sammy, on the other hand, was, I don't know if he was ever really thought to be some big power guy, so where that came from, I don't really know, but he's doing it, and I just don't see Sosa doing the same, but yeah, never know, man. I would love to see it happen. I mean, the kid's, like I said, been one of my favorites for a long time, and I've been pulling for him ever since. So, man, Uncle Ted's got a thing for Bryce Matthews. I'm just going to throw it out there because he just
Uncle Ted is a thing for a lot of prospects.
He does. He does.
Well, I saw Owen Cassie. There's a couple of names up there,
and I'm not mad. I'm not mad about it at all. I mean, you know, we are future Sox, and we do like to talk prospects around here, but this is the MLB-centric portion of future Sox. This is where we follow the careers of prospects into their major league careers. So, but yeah, I'm all about hopefully bringing in somebody. Man, I mean, the Sox could really use a bat coming up onto the scene. Can they not? Can we get somebody? Can Colson Montgomery put it together and bring that bat that he had for so many years as a prospect? He is starting to come along. He's hit a couple of dingers here recently. He's getting on base a little bit more, but I don't know. I need to see more, especially in Charlotte. You know, we talked about Andrew Vaughn a little bit ago hitting a grand slam recently. It's Charlotte. It's like, we've said it many times before, it's like hitting golf balls with an aluminum bat over there. You know, if you're hitting 30 there, you might hit 10 in the majors. Just saying. Anything?
Good question. I'm not going to respond. Anyway, what position is Colson Montgomery playing in 3 years? Designated hitter.
You know what? I was going to say, if the White Sox still haven't found a first baseman, I mean, they seem to be just rotating anybody through there.
Left field? You
brought up the name that I didn't want to bring up right away, but you did because I said we'd talk about him, but you mentioned his name like three or four times. Who's that guy from the Brewers that we claimed off waivers? Come on, you said the name like three or four times when we were talking about finding positions for Sosa.
Vinny Capra.
There you go.
Hold on. Think about that. We have way too many former Brewers players. I had four answers I could have went with. It's five if you include Shane Smith.
Shane Smith.
It's six. I forgot about Tyler Alexander. Six former Brewers.
Yeah. It's like the Brewers are this year's KC Royals, you know. The last couple of years it was Royals dump offs. Now it's Brewers dump offs. But you know what? Can't be mad about Shane Smith. Although let's just talk about Shane Smith for a second, since it is fresh in our memories. Yesterday's start.
Not great.
No.
That's all I'm gonna leave it at. Not great.
No. All right. We'll leave it at that. But you know what? As well as he's pitched up until this point in this season, he's allowed to have a clunker. He's allowed to give up 5 runs in the first 2 innings.
That's my thought about it. I mean, he's a rookie. I mean, you got to understand that this is a guy who came over in the Rule 5 draft. And I think his ERA is a little lower than I think it potentially, you know, will be going forward. Obviously, his ERA is still insane. It's 2.85. So, I mean, he's a rookie. He's going to go through the ups and downs of the MLB. And we'll see what happens. But, I think there's going to be kind of some of these blow-ups where it's the middle of the season. You're playing a good team. Not a good team, but, you're playing a team who can clearly get hot at the right moment. They have a lot of young talent. And, they shut it off there.
Yeah, you know, it is what it is. The Cardinals have been kind of a perplexing team up to this point in the season where they have had their struggles. Like, they can hit, right? And they can score some runs, but they've had their struggles pitching. They're kind of, you know, middling right now where they're at in their division. If they want to have any chance of making the postseason, they've got to find their pitching. But, man, yesterday, I mean, Liberatore was absolutely mowing down Sox hitters. I think it was like the middle of the sixth, and he was only at 70-something pitches, or maybe even the seventh. I don't even know. And, you know, White Sox hitters were just 1,000% perplexed by what he was throwing up there. It was like they couldn't guess right on anything. I don't know if it was he was just due, because obviously this is a guy, another early first round draft pick that, you know, a lot of Sox fans would have hoping we could have had him, but it, you know, didn't work out that way. But you know, Shane Smith coming out there and doing what he's been doing all season, he just didn't look like he had his best stuff yesterday, and he was getting touched up a little bit. So it is what it is. We'll leave it at that. We'll move on. we've been talking a little bit about first base. And we've been talking a little bit about Vinny Capra. And Vinny Capra had himself a game at first base the other day, even though, you know, he's been playing shortstop most of the time. But he did have a game at first base. Why? I have no idea. Or at least part of a game. I don't remember if he came in as a replacement later on. But what is the deal with this guy, dude? Like, you asked the question in a text between you and I and our very own Ian Eskridge. What does he have on Chris Getz? Like, I get that we picked him up on a waiver pickup from the Brewers, but like, why does this guy continue to get playing time? What is it we're expecting to get out of him? Do you have any inkling of thoughts on this? Why does he get so many starts?
I mean, the thought is, right, and he's another like Jacob Amaya. I almost forgot his name. How could I? No hitting skills, but, you know, good defensive guy. But like, at a certain point, like, I don't care about the defense. I'll watch a guy make 300 errors. I don't want to see a dude with a 305. I said 310. I was low. Not 305. 305 OPS. OPS. And I mean, sure, I'm sure the defensive numbers look great, but like, what are we doing here? Like, this is a guy who very clearly does not belong in the MLB at this point. Just absolutely awful. You know, you send down Brooks Baldwin, and I put out a tweet and I said, I'm lower on Brooks Baldwin than the majority of the White Sox fan base. And even I was like, why? There's no point of seeing Vinny Capra. I don't even think he's young. No, he's 28 years old. What are we doing here? And he's a zero. Oh, he's not even an elite defender. I just, I get it. I don't hate what when they signed him, I was like, all right, that's fine. It's whatever. You know, he'll be here for a week and then he'll be gone. But he has been absolutely horrible at this whole game of baseball thing that he's getting paid to do. And it's been a rough watch. So, I mean, I would assume he's the send down for either of them, Colson, when he gets brought up, or Brooks Baldwin. But there's just got to be better options. I am tired of watching either Vinny Capra or Jacob Amaya play this game of baseball. And I want to bring that up because I can see it now. He's going to get sent down. Capra is going to get sent down. It's going to be Jacob Amaya right back up. But
Come on. No, and you bring up Brooks Baldwin, and I just want to touch on this a little bit. Brooks Baldwin had at least a minor league career that said, you know what, this guy's got an opportunity to possibly be a guy at the MLB level, right? And it's just, I think it's just a matter of development with Brooks Baldwin. I also think it's, you know, Sox doing Soxy things by playing him out of position and kind of moving him around all over the field and not really giving him an opportunity to get comfortable. And I think sending him down and optioning him was probably the best move they could have made with him in recent days, because let's be real. I believe he needs, like most prospects and most young players need, I believe he needs a little bit of continuity in his game to get comfortable. He's still a young guy. Jake, you there? I think I lost Jacob again. Oh, he's here. So, yeah, I believe that, you know, it's just a matter of he needs to get consistent playing time, and he needs to get it at a consistent position and allow himself to continue to develop and be comfortable with the game. You know, these guys, they get to play the child's game and make a lot of money doing it. And when you are thrown into a high-pressure situation, whether or not the Sox are expected to win, are looking to not be the team they were last year. They have to show some improvement. There is some pressure there. And then you're also talking about your first taste and opportunity to come up and be somebody at the MLB level. You're probably putting some pressure on yourself too, because you want to stick, right? You want to show out and make sure that you let the world know you can play this game. So I just think that it's probably a disservice to leave him up on the south side and to continue to move him all around the field, especially like you say, when we've got a bevy of middle infielders and the just absolute windmill of outfielders that's happening right now due to injuries and, you know, other reasons where, you know, guys are up and down all over the place. And Benintendi, he's down with an injury, and Talkman's down with an injury. And, you know, now we're talking about Luis Robert being traded soon. Like, is that really doing any kind of favors for Brooks Baldwin going out and trying to learn how to play left field at the MLB level in the middle of the season that you're trying to, you know, at least establish yourself as an MLB player? I don't really think that's fair to Brooks. And I hope it's something that, you know, we see less and less of from this White Sox organization as we see more improvements to the roster and start making our way out of the doldrums of, you know, baseball hell, basically. So,
yeah. Chad is Wolf lighting up. There's some good questions.
Yes. If you want to go, I want to hit this most recent question right now, because Wolf says, are you guys done with Rojas? I am. How you feel?
If there weren't 13 other middle infielders that I disliked more than Josh Rojas, I think it'd be my breaking up.
A little bit.
This has been a absolute nightmare on the electronical part of this, on my part. I don't know what to do at this point, but just hope you can hear me. All right, cool.
Yeah, you're back for now.
Anyway, there's about 13 other middle infielders that I hate more than Josh Rojas right now. So I am done with him, but I just don't know, like, in the grand scheme of things, I think he's going to be here for a while. I think he's owed a lot of money, not a lot of money, but for White Sox, a lot of money. He'll stay the year. He's probably not going to get DFA'd. And yeah, it's unfortunate, but yeah, I could go for a few less Josh Rojas at-bats in my lifetime.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you. There's a lot of people in this chat that are going to disagree with me. I've been asked in the past to not bring him up or talk about him, but I'm going to. I would much rather see Brian Ramos than Josh Rojas up with this ball club. And I know Ramos has had his struggles, but the second half of last season, he showed us some things. He's another one. He's always shown in his minor league career that, yeah, it takes him a little bit of time to get going, but once he gets consistent playing time and he finds his way, he starts to do things that are impressive. Oh, look at that. Thanks for the super chat. Wolf.
I might need it at this point.
He is donating $2 to the Jacob Thome AV fund. And I think we might have to work on that. I don't know what it is. If we're going to have to, I don't know, if we're going to have to like defrag your computer, old school style defrag, or, you know,
get it. I cleared up space today too, by the way.
Oh, see, you broke it. You broke your computer is what you did. You tried to get in, get all fancy and whatnot.
I was deleting like old Adobe products and we're horrible. I only have one window open, I think. I don't know. Well, it's a nightmare. This isn't why we're here.
But yeah, either way, getting back to what I was saying. And again, thank you for the super chat, Wolf. We appreciate it. We appreciate any and all donations to us sitting here with headsets on, growing hemorrhoids, and myself smoking cigarettes and ripping heaters and whatnot while we talk White Sox baseball. I can do a lot of things at once. You drink coffee, talk baseball, rip heaters, and grow hemorrhoids all at the same time, man. It's fantastic.
I don't think you can drink coffee and play and talk White Sox at the same time. I would bet
it's a neat trick. Those two things. So yeah, any and all donations are appreciated. And as far as what we were talking about, like, I want to hear your opinion. Like, Josh Rojas, I'm done. I'm absolutely done. I don't care. You know, you can talk about where he came from, what he did, what it means to the White Sox. I'd rather see Brian Ramos, a homegrown kid who has done some things in the organization, and yes, he, not without his faults, but when he got consistent playing time, looked pretty okay. And he's starting to come around again.
He's playing well. Playing
good. I would just give him another shot. Why are we messing around with guys we know aren't going to be part of the future? We 100% know these guys aren't going to be a part of the future. We 100% know Vinny Capra is not a guy. We 100%, I'm pretty much sure 100% that Josh Rojas is not a guy. You know, then there's that other name, the man who will be, who remain nameless, the J.A. name that you pulled out earlier. Jacob shares his name with you. A first name with you that I really don't want to see come back to the Southside MLB club like ever again. So what are we doing here? Like, what are we doing? Let's give some guys that maybe have an opportunity, at least a shot, even if they're not everyday guys, if they're bench players. Let's bring them up. Let's do something. Let's keep that roster churn going.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat.
Thanks, Wolf. He says he'd love to see Ramos too. Somebody agrees with me. So, anywho, Tim Mulko, another White Sox prospect we were hoping to see more of. He spent more time riding the pine in his days up here, his time up with the White Sox. Also, optioned down recently. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, listen, I was day one of the show. I said I was a Tim Elko hater. It's coming to fruition. I'm looking like a smart human being. Also, by the way, said I was a huge Chris Getz fan on that first show. Now everybody's jumping aboard the Chris Getz fan or train. I was the conductor of said train. And I would like that to be acknowledged. Anyway, back to my Tim Elko hate. Listen, this isn't hate about the guy. I genuinely, you know, I say this a lot with prospects and guys I don't like. We just talk about like Josh Rojas, other guys, prospects coming up that I just don't see the potential in. Obviously, I would love to be proven wrong. unfortunately, with Tim Elko, I have been 100% right that the strikeout rate is just insane. It's not even the strikeout rate, is the lack of being able to take pitches, get advanced at bats. It's been a rough watch. A lot of strikeouts. He kind of feels like a three outcome hitter. I feel like I'm watching really bad Adam Dunn. I don't remember what year, but we all know the Adam Dunn year I'm talking about. Really bad. That's kind of what it feels like he is at this point. And the issue that a lot of these kind of quad A bats, like P. Crow Armstrong, shout out P. Knowles.
PCA is a quad A bat, huh? Guys, looking like
a quad A.
Yeah, looking like looking like the MVP right now, but you know, MVP, he's in the conversation at least.
Anyway,
I said he was lost too, by the way. I did.
The issue with that is, you know, these guys, like Tim Elko's biggest issue right now is he needs to adjust to major league pitching, and it's hard to do that when you're not playing in the majors. So we'll see what comes up with it. I don't know if he'll be up. I mean, I would assume he's kind of on that short list of guys to be called up here if there's an injury or whatever. Say, for example, Vinny Capra gets injured. You bring up a guy like Tim Elko to replace him. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's tough. I mean, by the way, not wishing an injury on Vinny Capra at all. I think that's kind of how that came across. That is, I do not like wishing injuries around people. No. People are human beings. That's number one. So yeah. Anyway,
yeah. You know, first and foremost, we're not jerk faces around here. Total jerk faces. Like, we do have some sort of what's the word I'm looking for here? Compassion, I guess, integrity? For these guys. I don't know about integrity. I mean, we're here. We show up when we can. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, we try to have integrity, but you know, it is what it is. But yeah, we definitely don't wish injury on anybody. You know, we try to get everybody's names right. We try to, you know, we try to be fair in our assessment of guys. And we'll admit when we're wrong. I'll wear it. You know, I'll take that egg in the face. Miguel Vargas, thanks for proving me wrong. You know, becoming a serviceable MLB player. Appreciate that. Love to see it, man. But anywho, Vinny Capra. It's the Vinny Capra show, dude.
It is.
I can't let it go. Like, what is this? What are we doing? What are we doing? And when I say we, I mean the White Sox. Yes, I'm one of those people. We, because I bleed and sweat and cry with this team. Put my heart and soul into it. I'm going to need an iron lung at some point because of this team. Like, come on. Yeah, we. If you're one of those people that's going to tell me we, and that's wrong, you can GFY, and that's all I got to say about that. So anyway,
I have a quick story about this. Shout out to Illinois Media School, where I went to school to learn this whole thing. Shout out Dustin Rhodes, the morning producer for Moline Haw. And he was like, if you say we on this radio station, I will, you know, it will drive me insane. And so I just got programmed into never saying we. And so I try not to do it. And every time I do it, I think of him. Shout out Dustin Rhodes.
Oh, all right, Dustin. Dusty Rhodes. It's easy top.
Dustin, not Dusty.
I know. Anywho. Oh. Yeah. You know, it is what it is. I say we. I don't really care. You know, I'm not on some radio show. I'm just some dude sitting clearly in his family room. All right, so shots fired.
No, so, I'm saying if this is a hole, we would have been kicked off the air 45
whatever minutes ago. Whatever. You know what? I don't know if I want to be on the I shouldn't say this out loud. Nothing against the guy personally. I'm just not a fan of him. But David Haw, you know, I don't know. If I got kicked off his show, it wouldn't be any skin off my teeth. So, anywho.
Great guy.
Molly, I'm okay. Yeah, I mean, he seems like a nice guy. Don't get me wrong. I just don't agree with a lot of his opinions. But then again, a lot of people don't agree with mine, so I get it. You know, we're out here offering up our opinions. We're offering up our best expert opinions. I say that with a really cheesy grin on my face if you're not watching the show. But anywho, let's move on. We have a few minutes left, and I'm glad that Baseball Toss is in the chat right now because he gives me the perfect segue. I'm going to go ahead and highlight this comment, and I'm going to read it to those listeners that aren't watching on the YouTubes or anywhere else you can find our live stream. But, hit the wrong one there. Baseball Tossed brings up Ishbia Save Us. You know, it says Save Us, but we get it. That actually brings me out to my next topic, because it's probably something we could have talked about a little bit last week when we heard the news of Justin Ishbia being granted the opportunity to become majority owner of the White Sox as early as 2029 and as late as 2034, I believe, was the range that was given. We all, as White Sox fans, kind of greeted this with huge open arms because, you know, we're just not satisfied with the Reinsdorf era of baseball here in Chicago. Obviously, only a handful of playoff appearances. One season where we actually had playoff series one, which was 2005, the only successful playoff season that you can look back on in Jerry's tenure since 1980 or 81, whatever it was. But the thing is now with that news also came right around in the very close proximity of time, the news that the Chicago Fire have been approved and are going to move forward with building a stadium, an MLS stadium, on the 78. That's 62-acre piece of land along the South Branch of the Chicago River that the White Sox have been linked to for over a year now. And I wanted to hit on this a little bit. So reason being is I feel like this Fire deal to get the stadium, and I don't know if you've seen the renderings at all. If you haven't, and if you're listening to the show, I would like to, at least promote you to go out and take a look at these renderings. They're not as awesome as some of the White Sox renderings were, the possibilities of what was going to happen with the White Sox putting a stadium there. But I think it opens up some opportunities for us, being that the Fire of now are looking at basically building a soccer cathedral as far as the MLS goes. One of maybe, if not the best, one of the best and, kind of upcoming modern MLS stadiums right there on the 78. Could you imagine what this does for Ishbia taking over and the rumors that he will invest in the club between now and the time he takes over as the majority owner of the White Sox? Can you imagine what this does for the possibility of the Sox and the Fire both being at the 78? Let's talk about this. Do you have any thoughts on this, Jacob?
I have plenty of thoughts. For one, the renderings look awesome. I am a person who is extremely against going to the 78. I think it makes zero sense. And I'll get into that in a second. But I do think there's enough room. If you see the renderings, it looks like there's plenty of space to fit both of these.
62 acres of land.
Yeah, that's a lot of – there's a lot of space there. The only issue I have with it, and this is why I'll get into this, is there's no parking. I mean, we have talked – that has been the issue at Soldier Field for literally ever, is that there is zero parking there. You're moving from Bridgeport to, you are now in the Loop, South Loop, if you want to call it that. Anyway, you're still all right there. There's no parking there. I mean, it is horrible. For a team that puts like Southside across the jerseys, I just don't understand moving out of Bridgeport. In my opinion, if you're going to do a new stadium, I would do it the exact same way you did it the first time. Build it directly over Comiskey Park. That's where I would put a new stadium. Leave it in Bridgeport. This is coming from someone who lived or used to live in the Joliet area, so it's extremely convenient for me to get there. I mean, you just hop right on 55 and it's right there. But I don't know. I mean, you're seeing the issues that, like, the Bears are having, why they're moving out of Soldier Field. Yes, I understand that they don't own the stadium, but, like, the biggest issue for the consumer is the parking. You have to park forever away. It's a hassle to get there. The Sox don't have that issue. They have a ton of parking. You're in Bridgeport. I don't know. I would just so much rather the Sox stay in the location they're at now. I understand that you want a new stadium. You know, there's a lot of people that really do enjoy Guaranteed Rate Field. I'm so on it. It's an all right ballpark. The best part of the ballpark is the food. Maybe I'm just saying that because I'm fat, but hey.
Me too.
Yeah, exactly. The food is great. Anyway, you know, I've been to Busch Stadium in St. Louis. It's an hour and a half for me. It's a totally different experience. It feels just completely different. So I get it. They want a new ballpark. I think that's completely reasonable, but I don't understand the reason to move out of that area. And I understand that people are bringing up, you know, Ubers and train. Yeah, I get that, but I don't have to do that right now. Like, there's a lot of other ways. And the train is awful, by the way. That's another gripe for another time. The train that it goes, they have a train that perfectly goes. It's on the Rock Island line. It's perfect. It leaves from Joliet and New Lenox. The issue is they don't change their schedule. So if you either have to, I've taken the train before. You either have to choose by leaving early from the game. Both times I've left early, missed two walk-offs, both against the Rays. Really odd. Anyway, so there's that. I don't understand why they just don't put a train that leaves in 30 minutes after the game ends. That is my whole point. And I understand, like, it's in a good location. I believe it's, like, steps away from the LaSalle Street Station. Again, same train line. But that is my gripe about the 78 as a whole. I think it's a bad idea. Bridgeport.
Okay, I'm going to play devil's advocate a little bit on this one really quickly, because I am very familiar with that area and that area of the river. I have said it on previous shows, I think mostly with Ian last year when the news came out, but a friend of mine owns a boat that is docked right along the river, literally right on the river there, literally steps north of the 78. And on the, I've been hearing some whispers. There is some undeveloped land just across the other side of the river from there that folks are talking about could potentially be parking. And that this development of the 78 might actually move forward in the development of some of the land on the other side of the river there as well. There's some industrial stuff there, and there's just some undeveloped area there. And I think the potential for not only parking, but more of a, maybe I don't want to say touristy, but probably it would probably would generate a lot of tourists. If you've got two major sports clubs on one side of the river and about a half a mile or so of riverfront that could be developed into, you know, restaurants, very similar to what is going on with the Riverwalk in the main branch of the Chicago River and the expansion of that over the last 10 years or so here. The beautification project all up and down there, I believe is something that's probably in the works when we talk about things happening at the 78. So if you could potentially put parking right across the river from there, and it's within walking distance of all of that stuff, just over the bridge. There's even been talks of maybe a pedestrian bridge going up if all this happens to shorten the distance. Shuttles, things of that nature. I believe it could have a major impact on the south side of Chicago. And I get your kind of hangups as far as like transportation goes. But I would believe that if we're going to put, you know, possible, you know, they're talking about putting some of the university buildings there. And now you've got the fire going in there, which, by the way, is a privately funded, like $650 million stadium. It's going to be privately funded, so they're not really asking for a whole lot from the city. But the city also has the responsibility. There's already money kind of pulled away from all of the wards surrounding that area for infrastructure. So you're going to see widening of streets. Clark Street will probably be widened out. There'll be, you know, possible more bus routes, more accessibility by train. I think they would probably find ways to alleviate some of the traffic in and out of the area. I just think that there's a chance that this all could work out for the better. And now that you have the fire involved, who are not asking the team, are not asking the city for any publicly funded money, they could help with any overages on infrastructure, which actually could, in my opinion, sway the White Sox to become more involved in the 78 and maybe pony up a little bit more money with all of these other projects that are also planned for the 78. I think it could work. I get that a lot of folks don't want to move out of Bridgeport. The history that's there, the White Sox have been there since their inception in baseball, for, you know, going back to 1900, 1901. The idea of leaving Bridgeport leaves a little, you know, it leaves some sourness for some people. There are a lot of folks that live in Bridgeport now that have either been there their whole lives or have stayed there, they come back or move there with the thought that they can walk to White Sox games and be right in that area of history. I get that, but you're still on the South Side. And I just imagine having a stadium with the backdrop of downtown's high rises in the background and the skyscrapers and just what that could look like. But, you know, I don't really know how that's all going to work out. I wonder if Justin Ishbia is going to want to dump that kind of money out there, because obviously the state has made it pretty clear that they don't want to add anything to it. Mr. Oberweiss doesn't want to do anything with it. JB Pritzker, the city of Chicago has been crying broke for years and years and years. So I don't know if that's going to, you know, have any impact on that. But I mean, the Ishbias seem like they're pretty adept at spending some money. So I don't know what that means, but I just wanted to kind of talk about it a little bit today and get your thoughts. And I see the chat's been going crazy with it. So I haven't had an opportunity to kind of highlight any of these.
But add to that, I mean,
well, you're breaking up again.
Oh,
there you are. You're back.
I was going to say, to add to that, I mean, you know, Ishbia has a history in real estate, I believe, as well. I could be wrong, but so I mean, I think there's something else there in terms of, you know, you have a guy who's in the real estate industry and actively in the real estate industry.
Well, most hedge funds do have some property to back their financials, right,
exactly. So out there,
yeah. Well, all right, so we're a little over an hour in here. I think we're going to wrap it up with that. But you know what? I didn't really prepare any hot takes or heaters this week. Do you have anything in that for us? Let's ask the chat as well.
I don't. I can make up something, but
yeah, you know what? It's been a slow news week. I don't want to keep running over the same guys. Not really much has changed. Let's go with a cold take this week. Just because it's been that show, it's been his show, it's been the Vinny Capra show. I'm just going to throw it out there. The opposite of a heater, Vinny Capra. I'm sorry, buddy. I'm glad that somebody felt like they saw some potential in you when you were released by the Brewers. But I'm not happy that it was the White Sox and your performance since then. I hope that if you continue to get playing time, you prove us wrong and get on base once in a while. But
did a good game yesterday. Cold.
Anywho,
he even pitched.
Yeah, and he got smoked. I mean, here's the thing, though. He did have a 1-2-3 inning the first time he pitched a couple weeks. It was about 2 weeks ago ish when he came up with the, you know, when the White Sox first brought him over. So there's that. But last night, not so much. What you got, Jake?
What do I got for hot takes and heaters? Heater. Anything. Who's on a heater? Not me.
I could smoke a heater.
I'll go on a cooler as well. Chase my drop.
Yeah.
His splits home and away are insane.
The Sox splits home and away are insane.
And that
on the road,
everybody's saying is because, well, yeah, but a lot of people are saying that it's because of the track and machine, which I think is really neat. Sucks they can't bring it on the road.
Yeah, it does. It does suck. But yeah, they suck on the road, dude. They've been pretty awful. So yeah, you know, it is what it is. I guess we'll wrap it up there. I'm glad you brought up Chase Mydroth though, really quickly. Chase Mydroth on the podcast with AJ did say that they all have Pope T-shirts in their lockers, so still representing the Pope on the South Side.
Did you see the Pope was chanting White Sox today?
Did you see this? No,
he was driving around in the Pope mobile. He was in Italy. He was driving around on the back of the Pope mobile and started chanting White Sox with the crowd.
That's, I mean, this thing's catching on. You know, it's I gotta, you know, you can't fault them. Maybe the White Sox need a little Jesus in their locker room and in their, I don't know, just in their presence in general. We need a little Jesus on the South Side, man. So. All right, we'll wrap it up with that. We need some Jesus on our show here, and we're getting our fill of it with the Pope being a White Sox fan. So, thanks for checking in, everybody. As always, special shout out to our chatters. We appreciate you guys. We appreciate the super chats. We'll make sure that we donate that super chat to Jacob's audio visual fund, and we'll get them straightened out for next week. Hopefully, we won't have so many breakups. I'm going to blame it on the weather. It's been shit today, pretty much all around Illinois. So, but yeah, here we are at the end of another broadcast. This has been Hot Takes and Heaters. My name is Danny Miller. You can find me on X at Danny Miller FS. That guy is Jacob Thome. You can find him on X at jthome21. Again, like I said, we appreciate your super chats. Anytime you see us or any of our Future Sox podcasts live, Future Sox super chats are open during those times. If you like our written content, you can find that at futuresox.net. And if you really like to find the stuff that we have behind the paywall, our exclusives, there's also a Patreon fund that you can donate to get that stuff. We have brought on a ton of new writers this year, and I think you guys, if you haven't checked them out, should. We've got a lot of draft profiles coming out right now. Look into those. You can catch Ian and James on the Future Sox podcast, as well as the Future Sox Roundup with Jeff and Elijah, and special appearances with Not Cease as well. That's pretty much it. We appreciate you.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming in. We'll see you next week. Until then, go White Sox.
Looking to get the most out of your money, time, and even better, your points and miles? I'm Chris Hutchins. I'm a lifelong optimizer, and I've sold two companies, racked up millions of points, and traveled the world to over 60 countries almost always for free. And I host All the Hacks, an award-winning podcast trusted by more than a million listeners that turns big ideas into quick tactical moves you can start using today to upgrade your life, money, and travel. Recent episodes have covered how to book business class seats for economy prices, courses, how to make an easy $3,000 a month from online deals, and tiny habits that you can use to buy back hours of your time each week. There's no fluff in the show. It's just proven playbooks to travel better, spend smarter, and design a life you're excited about. So search All the Hacks, that's All the Hacks, in your podcast app, hit follow, and start upgrading your life today.